Welcome back to Sound Sessions here on WGN Radio. And, you know, a lot of times, Michael, you and I focus on music. That's kind of the main point, the main focus of our show, and maybe even our lives, right? We're all about the music, typically.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I can say for myself, I'm also probably just as passionate about my Chicago Bears.
Oh, how could you not be, living in a city like this?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, well, for better or for worse, I will say. And with that said, we actually have a really great resource here at the station in Adam Hoag, who's actually joining us. He's our Chicago Bears insider for WGN Radio. You hear him on The Beat Saturdays from 3 to 7 p.m. and Sundays from 3 to 6 p.m. He's got a podcast, Hoag and John's podcast, where they discuss all things Bears. And he's been putting out, even like all throughout the year, off-season and everything, he's putting out consistently really great content highlighting the Bears, you know, draft profiles, all this great stuff. If you go to WGNradio.com/Bears, you can find that. Adam, how are you, man? Thank you for joining us.
I'm good, guys. Thanks for that nice intro.
Oh, you're welcome. I love the work you do. Well, so yeah, we've got a big week ahead of us, don't we? The draft is kicking off Thursday the 27th, and the Bears have the third overall pick.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting week. It's a big week for the Bears. I mean, you really build through the draft. That's how good teams do it. And that's been the goal of this regime since they took over 2 years ago when Ryan Pace and John Fox came in and, quite frankly, inherited an absolute mess at Halas Hall. And I know fans are starting to get a little frustrated and their patience is wearing thin, but I really do believe that look, there's probably some things you can pick on John Fox with his coaching a little bit, but I really think that Ryan Pace's vision, the way he's building this team with not spending a crazy amount of money in free agency and really trying to build through the draft is the right way to do it. But along with that, you have to hit on these picks. I mean, you cannot miss with the number 3 overall draft pick, and this is the highest pick the Bears have had in a very, very long time, and they're probably going to get a very good player next Thursday.
Well, let's talk about that. I mean, there's a couple big names in this draft that are pretty much, you know, surefire, like you're gonna have a stud if you draft this guy. Now at 3, I'm hearing a lot of thoughts about either a QB or a safety. I'm hearing the name Deshaun Watson, and I'm hearing Jamal Adams quite a bit. What are your thoughts? What do you think the Bears are going to try to do here?
Yeah, so this is the big money question, right? And it's an interesting year because a lot of times you have a good idea of what's going to happen with the top 2 picks, and that would probably allow us to be able to guess a little bit better on what the Bears are going to do. Now, the Bears are not a team that tips themselves off very much. Right. They are very close to the vest. They've been very secretive throughout this entire draft process the last 4 months. So it's hard to really know who are, you know, maybe the top 3 guys that they're zeroing in on. Now, I do know that they love Myles Garrett, but who doesn't love Myles Garrett? That's the defensive end out of Texas A&M, who's probably going to go to the Cleveland Browns number 1. That's pretty much the only pick this year that we can really zero in on. And even in that case, there have been some pretty credible reports out there suggesting that the Browns love Mitchell Trubisky, the quarterback from North Carolina, enough to take him over Myles Garrett. Now, I think that's crazy, and I like Trubisky. I just think Myles Garrett is head and shoulders the number 1 prospect in this draft. You cannot miss him. So he'll probably go number 1 still. And then the big question, the San Francisco 49ers are sitting there at number 2. What do they do? And that can have a huge impact on what the Bears do. They seem to really like Solomon Thomas, the 49ers do, the defensive end out of Stanford. I like Solomon Thomas a lot too. I think he'd be a great fit in Vic Fangio's defense. Vic Fangio went out to Stanford's pro day, so you know there's some kind of connection there, some interest there. And but the guys you mentioned, you know, Jamal Adams to me is my number 2 overall prospect in this entire draft. Wow. He's a safety out of LSU, and that's a position you guys know, watching the Bears all these years, they have not had a good safety since Mike Brown retired or left the Bears a long time ago. It's really been 9 years since they've had a valid NFL safety back there, so I think that would be a great pick. Someone to bring in, and he starts for you week 1 of the season and really is kind of that quarterback of the defense, which the Bears have really missed that type of player since Brian Urlacher retired.
Yeah, and I think that's going to, if they do make that move, that's kind of going to contribute to that classic Bears culture where you already got this young defense started, but that's a, you know, Deshaun, he could be a great, like you were saying, quarterback for that defense.
Yeah, and look, the other big question, and maybe it's actually the biggest question, is will the Bears draft a quarterback at number 3? Now, I just released my top 10 quarterbacks for this year's draft. You can read that on WGNradio.com/Bears. I also put in there, as I rank the quarterbacks, where I would personally be willing to draft them, right? So there's a pretty solid consensus that four quarterbacks are going to be drafted in the first round. I wouldn't be surprised if one of them slips to the second. Most likely that would be DeShone Kizer, Notre Dame's quarterback, if that does happen. Mm-hmm. But most people think four quarterbacks go in the first round. That being said, my personal evaluation of these quarterbacks, I only have one of them with a first-round grade. That's Trubisky from North Carolina.
Oh, wow.
So even DeShone Watson, who has been linked to the Bears a lot because they rolled up in a white Escalade at Clemson's Pro Day, and Ryan Pace, John Fox, Dow Loggins, everybody got out of the car, and it was very public, which, by the way, is not like the Bears, so that kind of almost has me scratching my head, you know, kind of going the other direction.
Right.
Because there are a lot of smoke screens in this business this time of year. DeShone Watson, I like him. I think he can be a very good NFL quarterback. I don't know if he can be a great NFL quarterback. I think there's some limitations there. So that's why, for me personally, I would not draft him third overall. Trubisky, even there, I have a mid to late first round grade on Trubisky. So number three is a stretch a little bit. But he's the one guy that I could sort of justify, because of the importance of the quarterback position, taking that early.
Sure.
Otherwise, I just don't see it with it. Maybe if the Bears trade back, which is something I think that they're going to try to do here in the next few days, maybe then you can justify taking a quarterback in the first round.
Right on. You know, with Jay Cutler gone this year, and with all these prospects who are looking very, very good in the 2017 season, what are the Bears looking for a player to kind of build a team around again and kind of start from square one, since it's been so many bad years, you know, under the Cutler regime, I guess?
Well, they need those type of players, right? Whether it's quarterback or not. I mean, they need – I think they're kind of hoping that defensively Leonard Floyd's going to turn into that guy. Last year's mm-hmm. first-round draft pick. But, you know, he had two concussions last year. He had some other injuries, battled through them. But he's got to really take a big step forward in year two if he's going to be that guy. That's why, you know, I get back to Jamal Adams on the defensive side of the football, because everything off the field with him, you talk to the people that know him and his role at LSU, he was, and I wrote this, he was the Mike Brown of LSU. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why I like him so much for this fit, for this defense, because it's not just what he can do physically on the football field. It's also his leadership. You need guys that you can build a franchise around, okay? That used to be Brian Urlacher. That used to be Lance Briggs. Mm-hmm. Ideally, you have that at the quarterback spot, right? Which is something the Bears have not had in a very, very, very long time. But so that's obviously a need, too. I don't know if Mike Glennon is that guy. I think they signed him to a very strategic contract where everything that they've said praising him is legit. They believe that he can become a franchise quarterback, but they're not putting all the money into it like when Phil Emery gave Jay Cutler the big contract that he did.
Yeah.
Mike Glennon's contract is really front-loaded all in the first year, and after that, it would only cost him $2.5 million to get rid of him if he's bad. So they're hopeful, but they're not really putting their money where their mouth is. You know what I mean? So that tells me that they still could be looking for that franchise quarterback in this draft as well. But they are hopeful that Glennon can be the guy. This is a smart way to do it, guys, because quarterback is the hardest position to evaluate in football. It's the hardest position to find and have that successful quarterback. So you have to take multiple swings. So if you were to sign Mike Glennon in the money that you did and then still draft a quarterback high, I understand that. I just think with this group of quarterbacks this year in the draft, number three is kind of a stretch.
Okay, that's an interesting – well, good to know. Now, you mentioned before we got into that last question, you just barely kind of talked on the concept of the trade. Now, what are the chances in your mind of the Bears either trade – well, I kind of doubt them trading up, I guess, but what about trading down?
Yeah, here's the problem with that, and it would be ideal because this draft is widely considered to be one of the deeper defensive drafts. And what really where that depth comes in is the idea that you can find a starting cornerback or a starting safety in the second or maybe even third rounds. This is a lot of times, you know, teams might only have 16 prospects that they actually have first round grades on, right? So, okay. And yet there's 32 picks in the first round. So this year it's more like, okay, there might actually be 32 players who are legitimately first round talents. This is a deeper draft. So if you can trade back and acquire another second round pick, that would be great. Because you're probably getting another very good player. Now, the problem is you have to have another team that wants to trade up.
Right.
And all these other teams are thinking the same way. The other thing is you also find quarterbacks being the reason why teams want to trade up. And because there's not really one or two guys that are worth the number one and number two overall pick as a quarterback like there were last year when you saw two teams trade up to get Jared Goff and get Carson Wentz. That's not the case this year. So not only are there not really the quarterbacks to trade up, but every other team is thinking the same way in that they understand the depth in the second or third round. So they're going to be thinking, why would I give up my second round pick to trade up a couple spots? That's why I think it's going to be difficult for the Bears to find a trade partner. But it would be ideal. And the one guy maybe I could see a team trading up for is running back Leonard Fournette, who is really an unbelievable talent. I put him right up there with Myles Garrett in terms of the top talents in this draft. The problem is he plays running back, and durability is always a concern there.
Well, and Bears kind of just, I don't want to say lucked into his name's escaping me at the moment. The
Jordan Howard.
Jordan Howard, yeah. I don't think they're looking to fill that role right now.
Well, they're not, and that just shows you what a lot of teams believe. You can find a Jordan Howard
sure.
in the fifth round.
Yeah.
So why would you draft Leonard Fournette? Now, Leonard Fournette's a lot better than Jordan Howard, but it's just the way the running back position works. You can have a Jordan Howard and still have a Super Bowl team if you have the right pieces around.
Sure. Well, let's do this. Let's take a quick break, and then I know this past week the Bears schedule just came out, and there's a lot to chew there. So let's wrap up the draft talk and talk some more things. So coming up next, you're listening to Sound Sessions here on WGN. Welcome back to Sound Sessions here on WGN Radio. We are talking Chicago Bears football, the draft. It's all coming up. We got with Adam Hogue here, our Chicago Bears insider for WGN. You can go to WGNradio.com/Bears for all his great content that he's putting out. The Bears schedule just got released, and it looks really tough. What are your thoughts on this, Adam?
Yeah, it is tough. Now, let's be honest, it's April, and we don't know what all these teams are going to look like come September. Remember, rosters are at 90 players right now, and it'll get to 90 after the draft once these rookies are brought in. And then you go through training camp, and guys get hurt, and big injuries happen, like at the quarterback position. So you don't know really what it's going to look like. But when you look at this right now, especially the first month of the season, you're talking about opening up at home against the Falcons, who are in the Super Bowl.
That's tough.
That's Matt Ryan, okay? At Tampa, Jameis Winston.
Also tough.
Good,
yeah.
Yeah, another good quarterback. And, by the way, Mike Glennon homecoming there.
That's a good point, yeah.
Yeah, nice, interesting. And Jameis Winston's the guy who took his job down there in Tampa and the reason why he hasn't played a whole lot in the last couple of years. So that's an interesting storyline for week two. Then in week three, you come home, you got Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers. And then
jeez.
Week four, you're going to Green Bay, where you're 2-6 in the last 8 years. All these games have been in prime time. They seem to always play at night in Green Bay. That's a Thursday night game, and that's Aaron Rodgers. So the first 4 weeks, you're facing top quarterbacks. It's hard to say. I mean, really, you look at those first 4 weeks, and you're saying, can they steal a win?
Right.
And go 1-3, and that would maybe be a victory.
Well, I look at it and I say, okay, what if they lose those first three and then go into Green Bay and somehow squeak out a victory? I mean, I feel like that would be the hopes will be sky high at that point.
Well, they got to start beating their division more, and certainly, yeah, if you can go, any year you can go into Green Bay and they look. John Fox did do that 2 years ago. Remember Thanksgiving
right.
night, Brett Favre's big ceremony. The Bears spoiled that party, so it's not unheard of. By the way, this is also the third year in a row that they're playing in Green Bay on a Thursday night, which is just another. Apparently, they they like putting the Bears in Green Bay on Thursday Night Football.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Sure.
I don't know why. And they also love putting they won't send the Bears to Minnesota unless it's December. I mean, Minneapolis is a great place to visit in September, not December, but the Bears have – I don't think they've played in Minnesota after Thanksgiving – I'm sorry, before Thanksgiving since 2006 for some reason. These are just like the tiny schedule quirks that I pay attention
bizarre.
To.
Huh, you know, that is interesting because I don't even, like, think about the schedule. I'm just like, oh, no, the Bears are losing this year. Oh,
jeez. That's all you need to know. Yeah.
You know, I wanted to take it back real quick to the draft and everything. I thought of a question when you were talking just now. You know, there's a lot of teams that go into it with very optimistic hopes to get the best player that they want. But how do they kind of scout the way that they are bringing these players in? Like, how do you separate yourself from getting, like, a player like Tom Brady from a player like Johnny Manziel who, like, just fell apart right after he was drafted and everything?
Yeah, I find the college scouting aspect of the NFL to be the most fascinating thing. I mean, it's one thing to scout guys. So for those that don't know, I mean, most NFL teams, you have a pro scouting department and a college scouting department. So those guys in the pro scouting department are scouting other NFL teams. They're scouting players who are already in the league, right? Because you get to free agency, guys get released, and you always want to be able to go to your information that you have on those players and say, oh, should we go after this guy now that he's available? At the college side, you're talking about guys who have never played in the league before that are mm-hmm. making a huge jump. And the NFL to college football, I love college football. I'm a huge college football fan. But the jump is so drastic. And it's harder than any other sport, right, in my opinion, to judge how – because baseball is hard too, but at least you have four levels of minor leagues to develop guys. Mm-hmm. And they're in your own system. You're talking about guys who are playing in offenses you can't control. Most of these offenses are spread offenses, which are nothing like NFL offenses. So you're trying to project guys and their skills that are being played at a subpar level of football to a different level that is much harder to play and is nothing like, you know, they're not running the same exact systems, and it's not even close. So I find it fascinating, and that's why you see what you brought up. I mean, Tom Brady gets completely missed. And if you go back and watch Tom Brady's footage at the NFL Combine, he looks like this giant stiff out there. I mean, that kid can't move, mm-hmm. right? And so they're going, okay, you know, his arm's not that great, and he can't move, and he just doesn't look like an athlete.
It's true.
Well, guess what? I mean, he has proven to have one of the best work ethics in all of football. He's so smart, and he's just, you know, driven to prove everybody wrong. That's the kind of stuff that you can really never mm-hmm. gauge. You're always kind of guessing on that part. And then you have Johnny Manziel. Now, one thing about Johnny Manziel is I still cannot believe that guy got drafted in the first round.
Yeah, that's
crazy.
Loved
him. Mm-hmm. And I go back to that year, and I was like on an island. Like, people were coming at me hard because I'm going, I would not take this guy anywhere near the first round because of all the off-field stuff. It was all out there.
Yeah.
You know, some of these guys have problems you don't know about that you really have to do digging, and that's where some of the scouting gets kind of really personal. But Johnny Manziel, I mean, you didn't have to go far to talk to a guy that would tell you he had a drinking problem.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It was, it was all out there. So I can't believe – maybe it took a team like the Cleveland Browns to draft him in the first round, but I don't know.
Browns move.
There's some guys, some guys harder to scout than others. I thought Johnny Manziel was pretty obvious, but
yeah. Well, I don't know if this was the same draft or not. But, was this the same year that the Bears drafted Kevin White?
No, or that would have been later, Johnny maybe. Manziel was 2014. The okay. Bears drafted Kyle Fuller. Kevin
That's right.
White was the year after.
Okay. Well, speaking of Kevin White, then you know, he's been, I don't know if you want to call him a bust or if you want to just call him snake bitten. He's had a rough go his first 2 years. I mean, he showed some flashes of upside. What's his status coming into this year?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends on how you define bust. I mean, do you define bust as a guy who just didn't work out or a guy that was just scouted wrong?
Yeah.
Because there's kind of two different things. I don't think that Kevin White was scouted wrong. It's hard for me to criticize Ryan Pace for making that draft pick because there was no way to know that his leg was going to break twice in 2 years. Two different bones in there. he started to turn a corner last year, week three, week four. And people don't realize this. Kevin White was leading the Bears in receptions when he got hurt.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, he was starting to have and I thought he was lacking confidence a little bit the first 2 weeks of the season and in the preseason. And I was worried about that. But he seemed to turn a corner in Dallas.
I remember
week,
that.
Week three, he caught the ball. He had one play along the sideline where he kind of ran over a defender, and it was sort of an eye-opener to me. Okay, that, you know, he's getting a little bit more confident. And he came back week four against the Lions and was having a really big game at Soldier Field, and then he gets rolled up on, and it's a high ankle sprain that turned into a spiral fracture in his leg, and he misses the rest of the season. So it's a lot of bad luck, but it's also concerning because it's the same leg. And is this going to become a chronic issue? You know, we just saw a receiver in Marquise Wilson for the Bears who, you know, constantly showed talent but broke his foot three times in 4 years. And it just got to the end of his rookie contract, and they said, sorry, we can't keep you around here. So I think that's the concern. Is this going to become a chronic issue with Kevin White? If it doesn't, if he's healthy, I think the Bears still have a player there. And I think they still love him a lot. Otherwise, they probably don't let Alshon Jeffrey walk away the way they did. But it does seem a little bit risky still with that leg.
And when you bring up Marquise Wilson, that kind of breaks my heart because I was so excited about him. I thought for sure they had something there. But, yeah, it's a bummer.
But at least he was a seventh-round pick.
Right.
Not the seventh overall pick like Kevin White
right.
was.
Now, do you think if you know, going back to the Bears' schedule, it's a tough schedule, and you think the Bears have another, you know, losing season, do you think John Fox is on a short leash this year?
Yeah, I get this question a lot, and I understand it because they haven't won a whole lot of games, and technically they regressed in year two, at least from a win standpoint. I think when you look at the roster, they are progressing, and that's kind of hard for fans to accept, and I get it because it's ultimately about wins. So I don't think John Fox is going to get fired at the end of the season. I think the only way that happens is if 2014 repeats itself. That was the disastrous Mark Trestman last year, okay? And I just don't see that happening because I think John Fox is too good of a coach to let a locker room completely fall apart
right. The
way it did that year. And also Ryan Pace has, you know, ridded the roster of guys like that would allow that to happen. There's much stronger leadership in there. It's just they got to find the guys to build around, you know, the real franchise-type players.
Right.
I think they probably found a couple. Jordan Howard certainly seems like a guy that you're going to keep around for a long time, but they got to keep doing more and more. So I just don't see that happening this year. I think they're probably, it's hard to guess on the schedule because it's April. But, you know, I looked at this yesterday, and I saw 6 to 7 wins.
Okay.
And they could surprise, depending, and that's without knowing who they're going to add with the third overall pick, which ideally could be a Pro Bowler in year one. I mean,
that's
it could be
true.
A franchise-changing type player that adds a win or two to this season. So you just don't know right now. I would be surprised if we're talking about a new head coach at the end of the season. And by the way, Ryan Pace, there's almost 0% chance he gets fired at the end.
Yeah, I wouldn't think that, yeah. Well, Adam, are you the day of the draft this coming Thursday, will you be covering it live or will you be doing any sort of coverage for that?
Yes, I will be. I guess unfortunately, we don't have any Blackhawks games to worry about, right?
Yeah,
so,
no.
I believe Justin Kaufman will be on the air as usual. The draft starts at 7, and the last couple years, the draft has been here in Chicago, so I've been at the draft talking to Justin during the first round. This year I'll be at House Hall, where the Bears will, you know, always have their draft headquarters because the draft is in Philadelphia this season. So I'll be up at House Hall communicating with Justin. We'll have all the live coverage for you right here on 720 WGN.
Excellent. Well, be sure to look out for that. Adam, we appreciate you joining us today to talk about all this interesting content with the Bears. There's a lot to look forward to, hopefully.
It was fun, guys. Thanks.
Take care.
We're going to take a quick break, and you are listening to Sound Sessions here on WGN.